He died hours before this accident ever happened.
So our accident is not an accident at all.
For something that is not an accident, but totally sounds like one. This is the Air Raid Podcast. Welcome, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. This is episode 33.
Woo!
In what has now become a long and drawn-out series. Of course, this is the show that drops bombs of awesome into your ear holes. I'm your host, Aaron Roden. Here to bring you the news of the day. All the important stuff that you will take with you for the rest of the week. Thank you guys for tuning in. Thanks for all the emails and the Facebook messages. We got some jokes that were posted online. And I think that's what we're going to do from now on, too. I want you guys to email me some of your best somewhat dirty jokes. So, yeah, no racism, no homophobia, but good jokes. Good joke. Send those to me. Aaron at air-raid.net. We got a great show planned for you today. We got some friends sitting in the wings of the dining / recording room.
I'd like to have a
and they'll be joining us
okay?
Here in a little bit. I do have to tell you about this. I had something super, super amazing happen to me the other day. We were laying in bed watching Dexter, and which we've been thoroughly entranced with for like the last month. We haven't gone a day without watching like 8 episodes of Dexter. It's ridiculous. I can feel myself getting fatter every day. But anyway, so my wife, Mairead, was like, "Oh, Aaron, the baby's moving around." And so I felt her stomach, and it was the first time I got to feel the baby move around. And it was absolutely amazing, which really helped in my recovery after the season finale of Dexter Season 4, because God damn it, that fucking depressed me. Depressed the shit out of me. I didn't want to see that crap. I don't know if you guys out there have seen Season 4 of Dexter, but holy fuck, man. It was... I'm so pissed. I'm wary of like doing the whole spoiler thing, so I don't want to spoil anything because I know that I happen to know for a fact that there are a couple of you out there listening that have not seen all of Season 4 yet. So I won't say anything except for, God damn it, I don't think I can watch that show anymore. But moving on. Everybody knows I'm on this pill, this smoking cessation pill, right? And it's working really well, but like I've talked about before, it really makes me have these crazy, crazy dreams. And the other night, like super, super vivid dreams, right? And we've talked about this before. But the other night, I had a dream about zombies because I had just watched one of the films that Mr. Sean Nelson recommended on, I think, episode 30, and he recommended this zombie film that was actually filmed in Port Gamble, called Zombies of Mass Destruction, which was pretty good. It was pretty good, I will say, for being like a kind of an indie zombie flick. It was very gory, but anyway, so I have this zombie dream, and I figured it out. Like, I survived my zombie dream. So if shit ever, like, if shit hits the fan, if we actually end up having this zombie apocalypse, that is, I mean, it's pretty much inevitable, right? Survival is totally doable. I will be the first one to say it because, I had a very vivid dream about it, and now I can make it through. Speaking of doable, we have Shane Klein and Mike Milliken. Okay, good. Vester joining us today. Welcome, guys. Thank you so much
Aaron,
for coming.
Thanks. Hey, Aaron, thanks for having us on, man.
Yeah, totally. So, have you guys seen Dexter? I know, Mike, you have, right?
I have, yeah.
Big saw,
big
saw, You saw season four.
But I did
all
not.
Of
I did not see season four. I'm just season three. Netflix guy. So you know, we just kind of get them, and then we just zombie out in front of the thing for you know
ooh,
the
good
entire
one.
Season.
Good
time.
One.
Yeah, yeah.
Full circle.
In there.
Full circle, my friend.
But yeah, absolutely, man. We're Dex fans. So.
Okay, okay. Did you like season three, or are you in the middle of that one right
no,
now?
No, it's done. It? I did. Yeah.
Okay.
I did like it. We started getting the kid right introduced to season three and all that.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
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 But like, I felt like season three was kind of annoying at some points because that's when like Deb, you know, the character Deb, like starts getting super fucking annoying. She cries every episode. She's like bawling every episode. And it's like just – that's like one of the shows that doesn't really need all of the emotion. Like I just felt like they really laid it on thick.
They did.
In that season. And that was like – just wait till you get to – season four is so good. John Lithgow is like the antagonist of that season. Shane, have you seen this? You're just sitting there doe-eyed.
Actually, I kind of lived Extra Life, so
you do.
I can kind of relate.
You're a serial killer and a blood spatter expert?
To a point.
To a point? Oh, you're a cum spatter expert.
Well,
yeah.
Jesus.
Okay.
Depends on the day, Aaron.
I got it. Wow, we're already getting R-rated, aren't we? Or NC-17. I guess when you say cum in the first, 5 minutes of a show. Oh, wait.
Yeah.
6.5 minutes of a show. Then, it's more NC-17. You going to let your daughter listen to this show?
Well, she was, but not now.
Yeah, I think that's out of the question. Yeah. Yeah. So you have kids, Shane.
Yeah, I got two of them.
And you're in this band, Vester.
Yep.
I am kind of worried about when we finally have the child who will go unnamed at this point because we're still thinking of names. But it is a girl, and we're very, very excited.
Congrats, man.
Thank you. Thank you very much. But I am kind of worried about how I'm going to juggle my time, like doing the show, because I want to keep doing the show. How do you juggle? Give me some parenting advice. How do you juggle being in a band? And because you guys play shows pretty frequently, I would say.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. It was tough when they were younger. I'm not going to deny that.
Right.
I had to put the drums away for a while and. But now it's kind of, we're back into it, and I guess you pick your priorities. It's an outlet. It's a stress outlet for me, and I need that in my life. And
right, right.
You have a great relationship with your wife, so.
Well, not really.
Oh, yeah. Well,
no.
I guess that's going to,
yeah.
That might help.
we do have a good relationship. Yeah,
just,
yeah.
You know, you just.
You just suck it up and do it, right?
You just do it.
Because I already have serious problems with, like, our cats.
Uh-huh.
We have two cats. And they'll probably make their way out here at some point in a very poignant part of the conversation.
Right.
And then they'll just start knocking, like clawing at the door.
Yeah.
And make the door like do the banging noise,
which our
cat really loves to do. No, they're indoor cats.
Yeah.
And you're lucky because I cleaned this place today. I always try to clean the place before we have the guests on the show. Which is great because it makes us it makes us clean like every week.
It looks great.
You know, because if we didn't do this show, then I mean this place we'd be like living a hoarder lifestyle.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, there'd be like seven dead cats underneath the couch.
It's all good.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that, man.
So we clean the place all the time, and there's just like I was frantically doing it today because I went out last night and with some friends of mine, and had a great time and stuff, and I just ended up like sleeping in, and I watched this. Are you guys into the Pixies at all?
Gosh, a little bit.
A little bit. Not too much. Man, I watched the greatest. Even if you're not into the Pixies, like I laid in bed and watched the I streamed off of Hulu. What's that movie called? It's like Loud, Quiet, Loud. It was this documentary that was put together on the Pixies reunion tour. Super, super good. Like I would recommend it especially to anybody who's in a band. Like it was just fun to see that like side of, you know.
Check that out. Loud, Quiet, Loud.
Loud, Quiet, Loud.
Right.
Yeah, check it out. It's kind of an older one, so I'm kind of late to the game here, but it was a really, really good documentary. Anyway, what the hell were we talking about?
kids, band, time.
Time yeah. budgeting?
Yeah, time budgeting.
So it gets easier when they get a little bit older?
It does. And I guess I have the attitude now. I'm doing something.
Well, you definitely have attitude, that's for sure.
Thanks, Aaron. I don't know where I was born with that. But anyways, you do this, man. This is memory for your kids. You know, this is something your kids are going to look back and say, wow, look what my dad did. He's doing a radio show or he's playing
right.
a band.
Well, this is actually the reason that I started this, too, is that I wanted to make a recording for my kids to look back on because I plan of dying of a heart attack in about 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, that's a great positive outlook, Aaron.
Yeah, so yeah.
Glad to be part of episode 33.
Yeah, yeah. There's only going to be about 50 more episodes, so, okay. Well, you know. Okay. Then I think the bank will be.
Yeah, I mean, our bass player just had, a kid, maybe 2-3 now, and then the second one, right out.
Right
and,
after the one, huh?
And there's definitely that period of time where, you don't see them for a while. And I'm kind of one, I don't know, is it 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, if they actually kind of get back on board? That's an important kind of distinction with having kids,
Right, right.
But the partnership goes a long ways, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
If you don't have a supportive partnership, it's not going to happen.
And I think because we have a lot of friends that live over on the other side of the water, and they seem to get out a lot more than like the city friends with kids that we know. I guess that kind of goes along with like having like this family unit that kind of lives really close to you too, that can like always take care of the kid at the drop of a hat, kind of thing. But like it seems like that's a little bit of a misconception. That people have about having children. And I've noticed that in our own group of friends, people are like, oh, you're going to fall off the face of the earth once you have a kid. It's no, that's not true, man.
Not true.
We're still going to make it out and,
get
a babysitter. Maybe we won't make it out together. we'll switch off, Where your turn to stay home. I'm going to go get shit-faced.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
And then you'll pick me up.
Right, right. It's an equal trade-off.
Yeah, totally, right? Does it work like that? Did it work like that for you?
It didn't.
I know that you're divorced now, so
it didn't work the previous, but it's working out quite well now.
Right.
So
you want some tissue to wipe those tears?
No, I got my shirt. Thanks, Aaron.
No problem. No problem. Well, thank you guys so much for coming out.
Thanks for having
us. Speaking of making it out, I went out last night to this place called the Atlantic Crossing in the Roosevelt neighborhood and met up with some friends. And while we were there, I don't know how this conversation got started, but we started coming up with names for really gross sexual positions.
Yeah.
Hot Carl, things like that,
right. Dirty Sanchez.
Dirty Sanchez, things like that. So I thought up this thing. Called the Miami Spritzer.
I love your Aaron.
Yeah.
And I'll explain it to you in detail here in just a second. Before I give, excuse me, I'm gonna edit that out. That was a burp.
Sexy.
Yeah, totally. But I came up with this thing, Miami Spritzer. And just a disclaimer to any small children that are listening to this. Please plug your ears for the next 4 or 5 minutes. So the Miami Spritzer is when your significant other is, preferably you are male who is giving the Miami Spritzer, right? So if your partner, whether it be a man or female or dog, donkey, horse for you in Enum Claw, you pick up the fan. And you ejaculate into the fan and then spray your partner, whether it be man, woman,
yuck.
Dog,
or whoever,
alligator, horse for you, an Enum Claw.
Yeah. Enum Claw.
With your.
Emphasize.
Hence the Miami Spritzer. Right? And it's kind of like one of those little fans with squirt bottles on it. But it's
a bottle fan.
Squirt.
Yeah, have you tried this yet? Or you just came up with this?
No, I just came up with it last night, and I was wondering if maybe one of you guys would like to email me tomorrow and let me know how it went.
I'll get on that tonight, Aaron.
Yeah, that sounds like a great idea. That sounds like a recipe for disaster.
No, but I like it, though. It's a whole another sexual name.
Yeah, totally.
It is.
And we ended up looking it up on Urban Dictionary. And it actually already existed and it's called the German Jet Stream.
Gotta love the Germans. Gotta love them.
Like Mike was saying before we started the show, it's like they always get to everything first. They got Hasselhoff now, and now they have the German Jet Stream, also known as the Miami Spritzer.
Yeah,
I can't say it without laughing a little bit.
It's a God bless them.
I'm a joke maker.
Anyway, how about we go to. Our first musical break. You guys got a song for us from the Vester catalog here that you'd like us to play?
Yeah, you bet. You know, I was actually thinking, man, we're gonna actually play some Vester tunes on this. This is pretty cool, and I probably need to actually figure out what my songs are about. And you know, I really had no freaking idea, man. I just basically
putting like random words into
random words. It's all stream of consciousness.
Here, I got a couple random words right here that you could put into your next song. Let me know if you can work this into your next song.
I loved a woman who wasn't clean.
Oh, absolutely. The track that I'm talking about here. But after actually going through these tracks on the new record, you know, Hear No Evil, I'm like, man, you know, this is an extremely depressing record. So, I mean, if you have any kind of depression issues, you know, clearly not a way to go here. But
I don't know if that's the right disclaimer you want to put before you.
Unless you're kind of a counter personality like I am, if you're a counter personality and you're depressed, this will actually cheer you up quite a bit. It really makes your life seem pretty decent. But we should check out track two, which is Miles.
It's track two, Miles. Yeah, okay, well this is
and this is Perpetuation of Human-Driven Violence from the Perspective of a Broken Man, and this isn't a biography or anything like that. By any means,
okay.
So.
Nice.
I just have to make sure that my my mountains are blue here.
Oh, they're chasing
on the Coors Light that you guys brought me. Okay, well, this is Miles by Vester, and we will be back in just a moment. And maybe we'll talk about my new trip here a little bit more. Okay, we'll be back in just a moment. All right, we are back with the Magic Little Boys from Vester joining us here. That song was Miles off your album. What was it called?
Hear No Evil.
Hear No Evil. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. And you can check that out online, right? It's you can
you bet MySpace / Vesta Music, or check us out on Reverb Nation.
Okay. Cool.
Also
cool.
Facebook, I believe. Yeah.
All right. Well, before we get started here, we want to talk a little bit. We got an air raid headline for all of you out there. But before we do, we want to say a quick word for our friends down at Verellen Amplifiers. Verellen Amplifiers, located in the Fremont neighborhood here in Seattle, makes all handmade, all tube, all loud amps. You should really check these guys out. I own one of these amps that was custom made for me a while back, and I'll tell you what, man, I will never, ever get rid of this thing. It's going to be one of those amps that you keep for the rest of your life. So visit them at VerellenAmplifiers.com. You can also go down to their shop and test out some of their stuff. And they've got stuff all around at guitar stores here in the Seattle area. VerellenAmplifiers.com, the only amp you will ever need. Okay, so we are back with Vester here, with Mike and Shane, and we've got a little air raid headline. And I didn't want to, when you guys got here and we were going over kind of the structure of the show and stuff, I didn't want to tell you about this. Keep this a secret because this is just hilarious. So we've got a little story here for all you people with warrants out there to watch out. When you the next time you need to urinate in public, so let's get our air raid headline sound drop here, and we'll start this off right. Okay, air raid headlines for episode 33. The headline of this article says it all. If you're on the lam, watch where you pee. This is out of Tampa Bay Online. You can find it at tbo.com. So there is this man, 50-year-old Edward Nathan Jr. He's been on the run for 27 years after he escaped from a work release program. Actually, let me check my facts on that. I think it was a work release. Yeah, it was. Back in 1983, he escaped from work release. Now, that's I didn't really think that could happen. Like, you could be on the run for 27 years. I mean, I guess I watched a little bit too much, like, Law and Order and CSI. But, but
they solve
that's a long time,
they
man.
Do, but they solve that in an hour.
Yeah, totally.
It's amazing.
Totally. Yeah, it is really amazing. And they got all those fancy touch screens,
it's
you know.
Crazy,
like, in the back, like, I saw recent episodes of CSI Miami, which is really the worst. And that's why I put that sound drop at the beginning of the show.
I like that.
But they had, like, at one scene, they were like at the crime scene and stuff, and they open up the back of their vehicle, and then they had like all these computers in the back all of a sudden, like, and all these touch screens, which is not even like, it's like a heads up display and like a, you know, F-14 fighter, you know, that you know, it doesn't even have a screen there, but
everything's
touching
paperless.
The air. Yeah, it's all paperless. Yeah. They're very green down there in Miami.
Very hybrid.
But I didn't think that could happen anymore. Like, somebody could be on the run for like 27 years. That's pretty amazing. Yeah. Like, this guy must have like really laid low a little bit.
Yeah, no credit cards.
Oh, he must have been married.
Cell phones.
Yeah, he must have been married. Yeah, yeah. He was just constantly mowing the lawn. That's
always
it. That's
laundry, dishes.
Yeah, totally taking care of the goddamn kids.
Yeah, he pulled it off.
Yeah, he did. He did well until, and this is the gist of the story. He kept it going for 27 years until he was caught committing public urination.
Oh.
Ain't that a bitch? Ain't that a bitch?
He had to throw a piss after a couple of beers and he gets nailed.
Yeah, there's some countries that kill you for that, right? Or is it public whipping?
I think that's where is that?
Tacoma.
Thailand?
It's not Thailand. Where was that? It like starts with an S.
You can't spit.
Stanwood?
Yeah.
Stanwood, yeah. No, it was because there was that kid that like got caught doing the graffiti, and he had like 50 canings or something like that, and like
it's hard
in
plus
the
Jesus.
Village Square. Where the I can't remember. Anyway,
poor bastard.
So yeah, this guy gets caught.
Just being a teenager,
just gets caught pissing in an alley, and he gets thrown back in jail. You think they're gonna be watching him real close? Yeah, they're either going to be watching him real close so that he doesn't escape, or making sure that he's not peeing on the walls in his cell.
Yeah, that's a huge offense.
Maybe he just has, like, yeah. I feel bad for this guy. Maybe he's 50 years old. Maybe he has, like, bladder problems.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he very well could. I can relate to that.
Yeah, right, right. Well, you know what I was Yeah.
Nothing wrong with it depends, right?
That's right. That's right. Nobody's I wasn't going to say anything, actually. You're the one that brought it up. But I was thinking when I was reading this small article, and it really is, it's very, very small. But I was thinking, it's like, why didn't the guy just think of, because he was being so careful not to get caught by the police for like 27 years.
Right.
And then in a moment of lapsed judgment, he just like, you know, pisses on the sidewalk or something like that.
Yeah.
But why didn't he just like try to do the walk and pee?
He would have left a trail.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Like, you guys have done that, right?
Oh,
every guy has done that. We're all men.
Every Friday
here.
And Saturday night.
Yeah, yeah. You just like hanging out of your pants and nonchalantly just kind of walk like you just got off of a horse.
Yeah, let her go.
Yeah, and just let it go. It's like people are driving by and stuff, and you're like, oh, it's my knees.
Yeah.
My bum knees.
No, or broken sack. Yeah. But yeah, yeah, why would you stop?
God. Dude, what an idiot. Yeah. This guy deserves a Darwin Award.
Yeah,
I
would give it to him.
Yeah, so let this be a lesson to all of you with warrants out there. You know, don't piss in public, okay?
I heard the dog's going to get you.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Dog the bounty hunter.
Yeah. There's a whole other
story. Weren't you doing, like, kind of stuff like that for a little bit?
Can I disclose that?
Yeah.
I did it for a while.
You did it for a while?
I did it for a while, yeah.
Yeah. What was that like? I mean, did you ever have to – were you like repo kind of guy, or would you actually – you would go and collect bounties?
No repo. Some bounties.
Okay.
But
it was
minimal.
Can you talk about any of it?
No.
His mullet was awesome.
Yeah, my mullet was grown out.
It was a killer mullet.
It was too cold.
Were you married to a short, stubby, like blonde woman?
No, I wasn't married at the time, but I had a brother to play that part. No, it was nothing to talk about.
Yeah,
exciting. But
you wear a leather vest with like feathers hanging off.
I wore my sunglasses at night.
Oh, good.
That's about all I did.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
It wasn't all cracked out to be like it is. It's glamorized. So, but
pulling people off bar stools is just not quite.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing what you'll try to do for a side job when you don't want to get a second job at Domino's. You're trying to pay your attorney fees. You know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's why I'm doing this.
Yeah,
yeah.
I hear you.
Yeah, and I'm not making any money at it yet.
You will be here.
Yeah, it's like it's been 8 months. There's still no money involved. I've spent a shit ton of money. There's no money coming in. Hey, you know what? Why don't you send me some money, listeners?
Please.
That's a great idea. That's a great idea. Why don't you guys...
Donations.
Donations, yeah. Maybe we'll set up a donation line so you can help me get
the children's fund, right?
So we can get higher... this is like an ongoing problem. We've got these small little mic stands here that you guys have to like... All of our...
My back!
No, these are great.
Yeah, you guys have to kind of hunch over and...
No, I like it.
And listen to. We probably couldn't have our friend Scott over.
No,
because he wouldn't be able to hunch.
This reminds me.
Of course,
of
Aaron's got the cool mic. I mean, it really is.
It's reticulated.
Yeah.
Goes up, goes down.
Reminds
all
me
around.
Of something else.
Doesn't make any noise. It's great.
Zero.
Yeah. So, let's talk a little bit about your guys' band. So let's see. Vester has been around for how long now?
Oh, it's gonna be about 6-7 years, something like that. But in the current formation, maybe only 2 or 3. And I think we've probably been out gigging for maybe 3. But actually, Shane and I, we go way back to, you know, teens, you know, 16, 17. We started going out to parties and that kind of thing. And
wait a minute, you were partying at 16 years old?
We were.
No. Well, that's to my daughter. No, we were not.
You know, cake and ice cream and all that kind of stuff.
I think we already made sure that your daughter can't listen to this.
My daughter won't be listening to this.
But, you know, got these parties, these keggers, and we see these guys playing these bands. We're like, man, you know, you could actually just kind of be at the party, or you can be the party.
Right.
After that, you know, we started playing. We were terrible for some reason. You know, people just kept coming out to these house parties, and
it was horrible.
Yeah, it was terrible. And then all of a sudden, you know, you just start meeting all these ladies, and you find out you don't actually have to be good.
No,
to get attention anyway.
Something.
Yeah, you don't have to be good.
Yeah,
you just have to be the person that everyone's looking at. And this amazing phenomena happens: a loss of attraction. It really just kind of comes together. And after that, we were hooked. And you know, a few bands in between there, but we got back together as soon as stuff just everything started kind of cooking.
Yeah.
And, you know, Vesta's just awesome. We're loving it, man.
Yeah.
It's been around. So kind of you guys, what started? Did you both kind of start learning music together?
Yeah
pretty much. Same in an apartment, time. Actually, banging pots and screaming.
All in action.
Yeah, it was kind of a bizarre. I mean,
old band called Paradigm Shift, and
it was a good time.
Man.
A lot of house parties, a lot of good memories.
Uh-huh.
But very, I mean, I could say honestly,
we sucked. Dude. But it didn't matter.
It didn't matter, Aaron. As you know, as a musician, I mean, it's. It doesn't matter. You play shit.
Yeah, you play what feels good to you.
When people are shit-faced, you're the best guy that's playing. I mean, like the best concert in the room, right?
Not like there was a lot of competition in 1988 either.
You know,
so, you know, it was good.
Zero.
Yeah. Now, where were you guys living at that point? Where are you guys from?
We're from Edmonds.
Originally. Oh, okay.
So,
okay.
And then we moved up. Actually, lived in the U District, Seattle, and started gigging around there. And
yeah, you were telling me the other day, like... when we were talking about you coming down, you were like, "Now you live next to where? Farrell's or something
right
like
here.
That?"
Yeah, Farrell's. Remember Farrell's Parlor?
What was Farrell's?
It was an ice cream parlor where they had birthday parties and stuff and little.
So it was like 1930.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What'd you get a frosted malt?
You looked it up, didn't you?
And we were both at the U. We were living in this triplex, which we called Party X. There.
That was what 1934?
Yeah, 1934. We're vampires, Aaron.
University.
Vampires.
We got the idea that we didn't just have to be band guys. We could actually be sound guys. So we went down.
Jesus Christ.
We pitched the owner of the Lockstock
and Bagel.
We said,
district.
"Hey, man, we're full service. We'll set up. We'll do sound. And we'll pull bands in here, and we'll work for just beer."
And we bullshitted that one, man. No idea how to run the boards.
Yeah, sure enough, we're in there. We're the bands are complaining about the sound. We're cranking it, and the pitchers are going down, and the sound's getting worse and worse and worse.
It's a bad part.
Guaranteed. We made out a lot.
It was one where we walked out live because I think the band we did the sound for was Second Coming.
I don't know.
I believe it wasn't them.
It wasn't them.
Hell, that just shows you what I remember. But I remember
Coming Second. I think maybe.
Yeah, that could have been it. Yeah, we were excused shortly after that night.
I can imagine. I can imagine.
So we decided, we can't do that. Let's just play some music. So we started goofing around on that and kind of just had fun with it.
Right on. So do you guys actually grow up together then?
Oh, we did. Same city or town per se, but
Edmonds.
We went to different high schools, but we merged our senior year. So.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
The bass player we got in there too. I've known him since third grade. You know, so we definitely got some roots going on there.
Yeah. So who? Why don't you guys name off who all is in the band? Because there's two other guys that aren't here right now.
We got Jeff Carpenter, the bass player.
Mm-hmm.
Nick awesome Lipiani.
Awesome.
Our lead guitarist.
Yeah.
And we just added a fifth, which is our second bass player, Brad Klein.
You got two bass players.
Yeah.
So you guys doing like a Spinal Tap kind of thing where you're going to be playing
you never know.
Fat
you might
Bottoms
lose your bass
or
player,
something like that.
One's amazing.
Or Bass
acoustic,
Odyssey.
One guy's acoustic. It's more like kind of a tremolo guitar
kind
of vibe.
Okay.
And then we got a guy playing on the, big tube Mesa, all finger style.
Why don't you get him? Why don't you get him one of those like six string basses?
Oh yeah.
Have you seen one of those, a baritone baritone guitar?
He's got
short, stubby fingers. I don't know if he could. Cover all those.
I think he's got
he's got little.
Five
he's
or
got,
six now.
He's got fat digits. fat digits.
I didn't say that.
Hey, he's not here to protect himself.
No, no.
It's fair game, right?
No, he's good. Let's just stick with the five.
Okay. Yeah. So, you guys have been playing around. When did you start playing shows?
Gosh.
Probably only a couple years,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Actually just kind of got
just kind of messing around for a while and then finally decided to
play some shows,
make a go at it.
Yeah. Mike got reconnected with an old friend of his, Rain Stone, and then he asked us to open up for him at the Jet in Mill Creek, and then it kind of took off from there.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's fronting on Clover Jane now too, which is just awesome.
Yeah.
And
great,
so it got us back out into it, and that's great. But
so
good experience. Nothing like getting on stage and just kind of blasting it out. But
right.
Yeah.
So you guys actually play up north a little bit more than you do down here in Seattle.
Yeah.
Do you find like the because you guys I would characterize your style of music as being like the alternative style. That was big in the 90s and stuff. And, because it seems like Seattle is way more accustomed to with well, maybe it's just like the areas that I hang out in Seattle, way more accustomed to like the indie scene,
yeah,
like the indie rock scene. Do you guys find it like hard to get a show in like Seattle proper?
What we find is that, you know, North End, you know, our fans only go so far,
right?
And if it's too late, you know, they don't make it out because, you know, they got kids at home. And you know, so
Jesus Christ,
we're not that old, man.
No, nothing but love. Just saying.
No, I know.
North End is good. You know, the cab fee. You know, it's only $5.
Yeah, totally.
We dig that. But obviously, we grew up in the North End, and so you know, all our friends are out there. And,
right.
We're stoked they come out to support us, but. You know, we play the Jet a lot, you know, out there in Mill Creek.
Right.
It's an awesome venue. In fact, we'll be there March 12th, which will be cool. We'll be the Clover Jane. And actually, my older brother's band, he's breaking out this six-piece with these four-part harmonies and this kind of all this crazy stuff. And so he's going to be headlining that gig for us, too. So it's going to be really cool.
Cool.
Yeah,
cool.
I know what you're saying about the competition with the indie rock, per se. You know,
yeah.
It is a different scene in Seattle that we've noticed, but it's... seems like it's coming back slowly.
Right. Well, I mean, there's some bands like Pearl Jam just came out with a new album, you know, and their new album is a little bit of a departure from their older stuff,
sure.
I would say. But like Soundgarden just got back together.
Yeah.
You know, they're touring again.
Thank God. Yeah.
And did I ever tell you the story about how I met Kim Thiel?
No. You did, but I want him to hear it. So this is
it was election night. Barack Obama had just got elected. We were at this big party down in Capitol Hill, and we're walking back to the car. I am just blotto. I'm just totally
drunk
out of it, you know. And I was kind of pissed. Like, I was happy that Barack Obama got elected. You know, I'm a Democrat. But I was not happy about a lot of the stuff that got passed in, like, the city of Seattle, like propositions and stuff, because it was going to make my property taxes go up so goddamn much.
Yeah, that's a...
which we are now seeing on our mortgage statements now every month, but that's a whole nother story. But anyway, so I'm walking down, and I'm just like, you know, Mairead's the driver. She's not drunk at all because, of course, it was, like, a work night, you know? And... And we get to the car, and this guy comes walking down the street, and he's wearing this beanie and stuff. Looks kind of ominous. And he goes, "Hey, let me shake your hand." And I go, "All right." So I stick my hand out and shake this guy's hand. I look up, and it's fucking Kim Thiel,
the guitar player from
Soundgarden. I'm like, "Oh, this guy wanted to shake my hand. That's fucking right."
He's a genius.
You know? And then he's like, "Are you as happy as I am?" And he's still holding my hand. That guy's got claws, man.
Yeah.
Huge hands. And but I got tiny hands, so maybe he has like normal hands, I don't know. But he asked me, "Are you as happy as I am right now?" And I go, "Yeah, I think so." And like at the same time I'm thinking like, "No, not really. Because, you know, Mayor of Seattle is an asshole." Like that's what I wanted to say, but still like processing all that in my head. Anyway, long story short, he walks off, and I like turn around, and I'm still processing that I just shook hands with Kim Thiel. And I'm like, I yell out at him. I was like, "You're Kim Thiel." And he goes, "Right."
Pretty crazy guy, huh?
Yeah, he's super, super nice.
Yeah, he hangs out the UW a lot in that area.
Yeah. But that style of music is coming back a little bit. They just opened, the Hard Rock Cafe kind of down in the Belltown area, right?
Yeah, that's a great room.
We have not played that room.
We have
yet.
Not.
Oh, I thought.
No, we played the Fuel downtown.
Okay, and that's in Pioneer Square.
Yep.
Yeah,
they cater a little bit more to like the alternative scene a little bit. And
yeah,
you guys played.
Yeah, Windowpane, Glenn Cannon from Fuel, or Windowpane actually.
Yeah, Glenn Cannon. Yeah, sure.
But yeah, they're really it's. It seems like there's a strong bond of bands coming back together. And the
right. Well, there's a bunch of different niches in Seattle, too, like where, you know, the Capitol Hill kind of music scene stays kind of in that venue, except for the bigger bands. You know, they play the Moor and the Showbox and, you know, and Crocodile and things like that. But, you know, Belltown has more alternative bands, kind of a mix of the indie and alternative bands, and then Pioneer Square is more alternative,
which is
and
good
stuff like that.
You know, I think that's what I love about the Northwest.
And Ballard is like alt country, like all the
where
time.
Did that come from?
Hey man, don't dog on that shit. It's good.
It just throws me in left
it's
field.
Good.
You go to Ballard and there's country.
Oh, hey man, folk,
But you go to Maltby, there's rock and roll.
Yeah.
You go to Maltby, and there's rock and roll. Yeah.
No, it's
there's
it's
a shit ton of Led Zeppelin cover bands out in Maltby.
They're surfacing.
Yeah. What do you think the scene is in Seattle right now? Like, what's kind of the cutting edge in that? I know we kind of got our submarkets, and I know kind of back in the day, you know, Pioneer Square was cooking pretty good, and there's still some good venues there. But it does seem like we've had kind of a zombie infusion in general, and kind of some of that downtown nightlife action.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've hit some clubs lately down there, but, you know, Fremont's cooking pretty good.
Oh, yeah. Fremont does really well. I think, you know, I'm more into the kind of the Capitol Hill, like indie rock and stuff like that. So, you know, I always enjoy going. I actually, you know, I should tell you the truth. I don't go to shows very often anymore.
You used to play.
You know, I always found it really hard to get a show in Seattle, too. It was really, really hard to do.
Yeah,
it took a lot of it took a lot of effort to do, and finally I just gave up. Like,
don't give up.
Yeah, no,
no, don't give up. Don't
well,
give up.
No, I did. The band's broken up.
No, I understand. They'll come back. Trust me, they'll come back. No, it is tough, and we've been pretty fortunate. I mean, as you would know, playing work weeks suck.
Oh yeah,
we've been pretty fortunate playing weekends and whatnot, but the Seattle's a dying. It seems like it's dying, per se, for the live music scene.
Yeah, only Pioneer
and
Square.
The Pioneer Square.
Pioneer Square, I would say it is because of the economy more so.
Yeah.
Because,
well, yeah,
you know, places are just going out of business down there.
Your favorite mayor, I mean, he charges for parking. Who wants to go pay for parking? I may go off on a whole tangent, you know.
Actually, I like McGinn. He's done some questionable stuff. No, I did not. I was not a fan of Nichols. I was not a fan of Mayor Nichols.
Okay.
But I think McGinn is more into kind of the nightlife.
Well,
you
should
scene
let off the
around
park,
Seattle. Well, yeah.
You know.
Yeah. No, that was bad. That was a bad call.
You wouldn't get me down there to see a show. I pay for parking, then a cover, then a couple beers. I'm already in $50-$60.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's
totally.
It's kind of a downside, but
yeah.
But that's why we haven't really pulled down to Seattle a lot.
Mm-hmm.
At least
it sounds like too, like you guys. I mean, you guys can make. Like, up on the north end, too, like, there's a lot less, like, the bars are more spread out, so it's like, people are going to stay in one spot, usually, too, so you end up making, like, a ton more money up there.
Yeah, you actually get paid, and, you know, we kind of go for kind of the well-executed gigs, where we just kind of, you know, build bills and take our time promoting them and, you know, do it right, and, you know, it's honestly, it's like, God, you know, we really need to get out a whole lot, especially when you're talking about, you know, the kind of exposure you can get online. You know, do you really need to? You know, the whole touring gig is kind of over to a certain degree. You know,
right,
if you're,
right.
You know,
yeah.
Kind of
right.
Small,
if you're
small,
if you're a small
band,
small band, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
So,
totally.
You know, God, the Jet's been great so far. We've got April 12th.
Oh, April 9th.
April 9th.
April 9th at Flights in Everett. We're gonna play with Guns of Nevada.
Cool.
Mr. Ted Walker lined us up with that one, which
nice.
Is a
dig those guys.
High promoter in Seattle as well.
Excellent, excellent. Well, let's go to a second musical break. Here, and when we come back, we'll kind of wrap things up with you guys, and you can tell us where to find your music and do all your plugging.
Nice.
Okay, so the second song that we're going to hear.
We're going to do track 7 here. This is Long Gone Destination. You know, and I was pondering the meaning of this one again, and it really got me down, but I'll share that with you.
Don't jump from the building. God.
Yeah. The Path of the Traveler.
Would you like a pistol?
And the liberation of release in the context of death and transcendence. So, no, don't overthink that. I'm just saying.
Okay.
Jeez. All right, this is Vester. We'll be right back.
Best be on your way. Best be on your way. We'll be right back.
destined in your mind. Crystal heart to find. Heavy is your tone, resting in your mold, resting in your soul.
So we're back with Vester, Shane Klein, and Mike Milliken.
Well, not my real name anyway.
Mr. Gizmo.
Yeah, totally. So let's we're kind of just coming back to kind of wrap things up, and then we'll hear another go out with another song of your guys's. Where can we find your where can we find your stuff?
Yeah, well, right now, you know, check us out on MySpace, / Vester Music, Reverb Nation.
Facebook.
Yeah, also on Facebook. You know, we'll have our new record, Hear No Evil. It's going to be out here pretty soon on iTunes, available for download. Of course, you can always come check us out at the shows we've got posted on the site. So.
What's the newest? When's the closest show that you guys are going to do?
Yeah, so March 12th, we're going to be at the Jet in Mill Creek.
It's a Saturday night. Yep. Come on out, Clover Jane and Who Can Investors. So it should be a good gig.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah, definitely, we'll be opening up, so get there early. Then after that, we'll be playing at
April 9th. The Flights in Everett. We'll be with Guns of Nevada, and I believe Quickie is the headliner of that show. Nice. So it's another Saturday night.
Quickie.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sounds fun.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I appreciate you guys coming out.
Oh, thank you.
Aaron,
and
thanks
bringing,
so much for having us.
Bringing all the beer.
Oh, dude. Yeah.
Which is always rad for the guests to bring the gear, to bring the beer. Boy.
How many did you have?
Yeah. This is, you know, I did my first sober show last weekend. We did a show with Andrew Moore for episode 32, and I was, because he doesn't drink, and I did my first sober show with him, and it went really, really well.
Did it?
And so, yeah, I was like, I was contemplating, like today, like, because sometimes, you know, after I have a couple drinks, like, I can feel my tongue start to stiffen up just a little bit, you know? So when I'm trying to get
sexual...
something out. No.
Another sexual thought going on.
What could you call that? That would be like a Miami strong tie.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, whatever.
Tongue hockey.
Yeah.
Wait, they don't play hockey there, do they?
Yeah, they don't. No, they can't.
No.
They
can't do much.
But yeah, it turned out really well. So I was like contemplating, like, you know, because I knew you guys were bringing beer.
You
I was like, I didn't want to turn it down.
I didn't want to turn it down.
So I hope this episode turns out well.
No,
I hope
thanks,
I'm not
man.
Slurring my speech.
You sound clear here.
Check. Yeah, yeah, totally. Well, thank you guys again for coming out. I had a good time with you guys. So you can find us at air-raid.net. Please check out the website, and from there you can get onto our subscribe to iTunes, Zune Marketplace. Check out Stitcher. Stitcher is a great app for your smartphones, kind of like a Pandora radio for podcasts. And there's a bunch of great podcasts on there. Stack of Dimes, Grapes of Rad, they're all on there too. You guys can subscribe to us, and remember to give us a thumbs up on Stitcher, because that helps us out. And also remember to it really helps out our ratings on iTunes if you can give us a rating, or you know, just take a little bit of time and give us a review too, because anything helps. You know, we're trying to get this thing kind of off the ground here and going, which we have been. And it's been really, really great. You can always email me with show ideas and everything like that, Aaron@air-raid.net. Thanks again for listening, everybody. Oh, and next week, we are going to have the guys from Grapes of Rad on, episode 34. Stay tuned for that. It's going to be a great time. I'm super, super excited to get these guys on. I guess that's it. Have a great week.